Welcome to the My Crazy Office podcast with the authors of Working With You Is Killing Me, Working For You Isn't Working For Me, and Mean Girls at Work, Kathy Elster and Catherine Crowley. They're committed to creating world peace one crazy office at a time. And now, here are Kathy and Catherine.
Hey everyone, I'm Kathy Elster.
And I'm Catherine Crowley, and welcome to My Crazy Office.
So Catherine, today we're going to answer two questions concerning situations where an employee is reporting to a new boss and that boss behaves very differently from his or her predecessor.
Mm.
In the first scenario, the new boss is nicer than the previous boss, which is can really throw you. And in the second situation, the new boss is less friendly. That can also be confusing.
Yeah, they both involve big changes, right, in terms of interaction. So it'll be interesting to hear.
Right. All right. So let's get to our first question, Logan.
I'm 3 months into a new job as the VP of marketing for a national home furnishings company. It's a great job that is very challenging and draws on my skills. At my previous position, I had a mean, demeaning, angry boss who would yell at me. I find that every time my current boss wants to talk with me, I prepare for him to yell and devalue me. My heart starts to race and I'm full of anxiety. But every time I actually meet with him, he's encouraging and positive. He often just wants my opinion on something. What's happening here, and how do I get beyond this?
This is so therapy.
Well, this actually is a good case of workplace post-traumatic stress.
Right.
Right.
Mm. Right.
That this individual, what's happening is that your nervous system is reacting, regardless of what your new boss does, it's reacting to what it knew to be its experience with the previous boss.
Mm-hmm.
So in something like that, you actually can't do a lot to control the physiological reactions that you have. But you can do things to ground yourself. We always talk about those breathing exercises, Kathy. I think that in this case, practicing your breathing and trying to stay grounded in the moment are things that you can do so that eventually your brain learns that you're not still dealing with an abusive boss.
Mm-hmm. How long does that take?
I'd say it would take a couple of months. At least a few months, now that you've got awareness, which is a good thing. So there's awareness, acceptance, and action. Once this person now has awareness that I'm having a reaction to this individual. So now that you have that, the opportunity is to very quickly tell yourself you're not in the same place.
Mm-hmm.
And then take a few breaths and then attend to whatever is happening with the boss. You have to sort of challenge the false reality that your mind keeps coming up with.
You know, people don't leave jobs for the work. They leave because of a bad boss.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So whenever I have a client that either has a different boss now that's not the nightmare that they had, I always have them check in with me.
Yeah.
If they get an email, just to make sure they're not misreading it.
That's such a good point, Kathy, because the mind distorts, right?
Exactly. So, or you may also somebody else that you trust that you can speak to and say, hey, just read this email. What do you think the meaning is here?
Right.
And also, you know, it does take a while for you to, every time you're called into the boss's office, not think that it's going to be a nightmare.
Right. Or you might get fired or you're going to be punished. I mean, when you've been through this kind of thing, the other thing we always talk about unhooking physically, in this kind of situation, though it's a new job with a positive outcome, physical exercise is good because it can release some of the toxins. Your body is going to be bracing itself for the bad behavior of previous days, whether you consciously want it to or not.
You know, I remember when I got divorced as many years ago, I am married to the same person for a while. The therapist I was seeing told me that in a breakup, I think it was something like a month for every year.
Uh-huh.
It took to get over that relationship.
Yeah.
So I just wonder if that works in the workplace also, that if you work for this boss for 3 years, it may take you 3 months.
Yeah. I think that would be a good estimate probably.
Right.
Because it's a long time that if you think of the neural pathways have been going a certain route, right? And your body has been under a certain kind of stress.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes, like you were saying with the emails, you'll see a word or a line that's similar to what your previous boss may have written.
Right.
And all the alarm signals are going to go off.
Yeah, exactly. Right. It is a post-traumatic syndrome. It is sort of that kind of thing. But I think to have a buddy, maybe it's somebody at home or not somebody in the workplace, but somebody outside that you can run this by so that you can get a reality check on what's happening.
That's a great idea. And also it's good to find out from people who are in the workplace what the history of this boss is. You know, mm-hmm. if you notice, generally speaking, that when you talk about what's happened in the past when you made a mistake and they describe, well, you know, we had a discussion about it and I didn't make the mistake again, mm-hmm. that's very different from, well, you know, this person called me in and screamed at the top of their lungs.
I still think it takes a while to trust that.
Oh, yeah.
You know, even if the person is doing everything right and everybody tells you how great they are, it just takes a while to trust that this person is not going to come in one day and chew you out if that's what you're accustomed to.
They have to show you, and they have to mm-hmm. show the emotional part of your brain that they're not mm-hmm. dangerous. Because mm-hmm. that's what it's really about. It's the hypervigilance that it develops over time from feeling endangered.
And I'm sure it's not just the bosses, it's probably also coworkers.
Yeah.
You know, if you've had worked in a team that was also disruptive, you kind of wait for that to happen again.
Yeah, or if you see two people talking quietly in the back of a room, you may assume that they're talking about you.
And they're not? They most likely are. No, I'm kidding.
Yeah, it's very hard to imagine and really trust a new culture that's a healthier culture.
Right, right.
I think it's funny because I always bring up dating analogies, but I will just
I brought up the divorce. So this is equal airtime here.
So for me, I had had so many bad relationships that I describe myself as a junkyard dog. Anyone who came across, I'm like,
you know. Ew, you were a scrappy dog.
I was just ready to defend myself, basically. Uh-huh. And, Cliff, who's now my husband, he had to be very patient for the first few months.
Really?
Yeah, because I would do
very challenging
things.
It's a good
thing
he likes dogs. Right? And he likes kind of snarly dogs. Turns out he likes snarly dogs.
Loretta, so.
Now we have a real scrappy dog.
So he really wanted to just tame that dog in
you. That's right. So you have to love your inner scrappy dog in these situations and appreciate what it is that you've been through. And that's going to take some time. And I think, Kathy, you're absolutely right. It's great to have like a safe harbor,
right.
Someplace where you can check in and mm-hmm. talk about what's going on, talk about your reactions. In the meantime, take care of yourself physically as best you can to try to keep purging those toxins from your previous experience.
You know, I don't think really many people talk about this.
No.
Wow, you're really convinced they don't.
No, because how weird would that be, right?
Right.
Who are you going to talk to? The people who are still in the abusive situation? It's so great where I am now. I can't really believe it. They're going to hate you.
No, but you just, you know, people talk about every aspect of the workplace, but I've really never heard people talk about this. And we talk people off this ledge all the time.
Yeah.
It's a common conversation.
Yeah.
So I'm glad we're bringing it out to everyone because, you know, the people are moving jobs right now. There's a lot of changes, a lot of available jobs out there. So many people are retiring. There's a lot of openings. So, you know, this may be the case.
Right. And I would like to add one more ingredient to this situation. If you've been in an abusive or really difficult situation, silence is a scary thing. So, for example, if you have a new boss, kinder, gentler boss who's hands off and doesn't mm-hmm. give you a lot of feedback, your mind will start creating the worst possible feedback.
Right, right.
So
right.
you need to do things to dispel that.
Yeah.
You know, like keep coming back to the reality of where things stand.
So interesting.
This isn't something that you would bring up to the boss, right? This is just something that you would handle on an individual level?
I think it's very personal and not something you would bring up. Mm-hmm. It's really not their responsibility to really take care of your past.
Right.
Right.
I think this is personal development.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, what we're talking about all the time. And a lot of it is okay in the workplace, but not this.
Yeah. Well, it's one thing that might happen is if the boss comes up behind you and you are startled, easily startled.
Right, right.
That you may want to explain.
Triggering.
Yeah, if you get triggered, You don't have to say I worked for an abuser before you, but you can just say, I'm sorry, you know, I'm a little jumpy. I mm-hmm. mean, I think you can at least describe your state rather than explaining where it comes from.
Okay.
I guess if they call you in and they say, you seem paranoid.
I see you talking to yourself at your desk. Me, you seem paranoid.
Keep looking at me in funny ways. And,
I saw the spy glasses as you were walking around the corner.
Who knows? I mean, some bosses are very intuitive.
Yes.
Sure, yeah.
And they may pick up that you're a little off and you're cautious.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So if that were to happen, then I think you can talk about it.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I think that's true. And also it's important to clear this whole thing, because I'm thinking, like, if you make mistakes, very often if you work for someone who's abusive, you don't want them to know about the mistakes. You're right. terrified if they discover the mistakes. Right. Mm-hmm. So that's something you do want to get to a place where you can talk about what's not working or things that you're struggling with. And that only comes by sort of detoxifying.
And it's important to remember that every office is different.
Yes.
Even within the same company, every office is different. There's different cultures, different energies, different ways that people treat each other. So you have to not assume you know.
Right.
When you go to a new job, you have to just be really open to whatever it is. This is why I'm self-employed. One of the many reasons.
It's true. It's very challenging to read it. And also to know that even healthier cultures will have pluses and minuses, right? So if you're working for a really busy boss now and who's not abusive or doesn't chew you out, you may have to work hard just to get time to check in with them, make sure that you are doing your job properly.
Mm-hmm. Right. All right, so anything else you want to say on this?
No, I just say be kind to yourself and appreciate it. It's going to take some time. I like your 1 month for every year.
Well, I also think that, so you have the job of getting to know this company, but you also have this internal job.
To heal.
Yeah,
to heal.
When you start this job, if you've come from a really rough situation.
Right.
So it's probably a time to get some short-term counseling, whether it's a career coach or a therapist or something.
Yeah. Could be very helpful.
Yeah,
I agree.
Support would be helpful. All right, did you have anything else you wanted to say? It looked like you were about to say something. No?
No.
Okay. So, Logan, how are you feeling? Logan and I walked into each other about a minute ago.
We
and your head feels okay?
My head feels okay. So far, so good.
The head bumped.
Yeah, we head banged.
Banged.
Really, head banged. Really walked into each other. Okay, we're going to take a quick break and come back with question number two.
Want to be a hot shot in your new job? Do you have a fancy new suit, but you're tired of wearing it to the same old office? Aren't you bored of staring out the window at Starbucks, wondering what happened to your dream career? If you answered yes to any of the above, stop what you're doing and give K-Squared a call. I mean it. K-Squared Executive Coaching will help you accomplish your career objectives and help you navigate the obstacles holding your career hostage. Simply go to our website, ksquaredenterprises.com, to learn more about our executive coaching and how we can help you. Come on, go ahead. You can do it. And now, back to our show.
All right, welcome back, everyone. Logan, what do we have next?
I work in the development office of a not-for-profit, and 2 months ago, my former boss retired and a new boss came in. My former boss and I had a lot in common. Every morning, we would spend time catching up with each other. We talk about our home lives, diets, the news, books, and weekend activities. This new boss doesn't seem interested in talking at all. When I ask her how her weekend went, she says a quick, fine. She focuses on work issues only and doesn't want to discuss anything personal with me. I fear that she doesn't like me, and I'm not sure how to relate to her. Any advice?
Oh, boy. I mean, I feel bad because, obviously the first boss was a real schmoozer.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it was cozy, comfy, and, we really, chewed the fat, and it felt really good. You understood each other.
Yeah.
You kind of came from the same place. And now this one is like, no go. No.
All business.
Yeah, I don't want to know. I'm not going to do that. So that's hard. That's a real change in atmosphere.
Well, it's a loss is what it sounds like to this individual at this time. Mm-hmm. And also it can be daunting because if We talk about this actually, and working for you isn't working for me. And we talk about boss baggage, and we have different people who relate to authority differently, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. We have the nurturers, the caregiving types who really do need this, right? They need that human connection with the boss. And if your boss isn't willing to give that, then you may feel as if you're in trouble.
Yeah. So, yeah, how do you get over this one? Is it kind of the same as the first one where you have to, well, how do you replace that, first of all? Or maybe you can't replace it.
That's the loss, L-O-S-S part of it.
Is so it's
that
died. Buried.
You're grieving. Hasta
la vista, gone. Hasta la vista, baby. Yeah, there may be some grieving to do. You have lost someone who was basically a buddy as well as your boss, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
So I think that is part of the adjustment, is to admit to yourself that you've had this loss. Then, Kathy, you would give very strong practical advice for how to deal with this.
Well, to me, this is definitely a boss who's not interested in that.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So you have to, you have to produce what they want, which is probably just work.
Right.
You know, they don't want the sidebar story.
Right.
Right.
You know, they don't want to know about the movie you saw. They just want you to produce. So this is not where your friendship is going to come from.
Right.
I mean, who knows? Over time, they may lighten up a bit. Oh, Catherine says, no, they're not going to lighten up. They're never going to lighten up. Or they're never going to be the way the old boss was.
No.
Yeah.
No, you actually have to show that you're serious. Your business
right.
serious.
Right. That right. You're right. Because if they think of you as somebody who just wants to chit chat all day, they're not going to think very highly of you.
No. And they probably already have a mother or whatever it is that you have been to the other boss, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. So you're going to have to produce. I mean, I also think that there's a decision that has to be made. I mean, if that's impossible for you, then you may have to think about seeing if there's other opportunities. But I think it's worth a try to, just deliver and see what happens. And maybe the friendship will be formed somewhere else in the company and you'll have lunch with somebody every day.
Right.
Mm-hmm. To get the talking in that you need. I mean, just quite frankly, between Catherine and I talk her ear off and she says nothing. So that is how we schmooze here. She just listens like the good therapist, and then I leave the room and I feel much better.
That is not fully accurate. But I will say, I think what's true is that you have to learn the new language of this boss. Mm-hmm. And so
silence.
Silence is golden.
Chances are she wants you to come into those meetings with an agenda, mm-hmm. right? And
I think this person wants you to produce.
Yeah.
Right. I don't want to hear the story behind it.
So you think this person, this individual used to check in every day. It says every morning we would spend time catching up with each other. Should this individual stop checking in?
Well, checking in to say maybe good morning, is there anything you need? Is one thing.
Yeah.
But to check in, say, how was your evening? I don't think so. What'd you have for dinner? Did you catch Downton Abbey
last night?
What
about those New Jersey housewives?
Yeah, right. Yeah. I don't think so. I mean, let this boss take the lead and mm-hmm. show you how much they want to talk.
Yeah.
But it sounds like that they have that taken care of.
Yeah. And
or they don't like it. But so that's really rough, because if it was something you really enjoyed, I mean, I'm feeling the pain for
right,
this person.
Right, it's a change in the fabric of your daily work life,
right,
really.
Right.
And I think you're right, Kathy, that you're going to have to find solace elsewhere.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing is we would normally interpret this even as a boundary issue, right? That some people share their personal lives. That's
right.
Part of how they do work. And for others, personal and business are separate.
I think that's accurate.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Actually, a client told me recently that she knows nothing about her boss. Anything she knows about him, she found online.
Wow.
She knows that where he lives and that he has a wife and two children, but nothing else. He never reveals anything about his life.
Yeah.
And I guess there are people that are like that.
Yeah.
And that's their prerogative. That's fine. It's not necessary. And I personally do think that having relationships at work does make work become more pleasant.
Yeah.
Maybe that's because I do need to feel connected with people. I do need to know and ask them how they are and how their family is. But not everybody needs that.
Not everyone does. And I think one of the common assumptions that women may have with other women is that we all want to relate a little bit on that level, right?
And we don't all.
That's right.
Yeah.
So many women, the first thing they'll say, even meeting someone new, I love your hat or mm-hmm. hat. Who? I love your shoes. Where
well,
did you
could
get
be a hat. You know, we have many winter hats.
I don't know. I was thinking of bonnet. And also, I was like, who's wearing bonnets at work? But anyway, we ask these questions, right, that are relationship, personal questions. They're not business. And so you would expect, one might expect another woman to do the same.
I think that's true. But, you know, we do come in and talk about movies we've seen with each other because, you know, it's a great way to connect and you know, and also I find out about art exhibits and stuff from people I work with. Yeah. So, you know, that's something I personally need. Do you need that?
I need a little bit of it.
And
yeah.
you, Logan, you don't need much of it.
A little bit of it. Yeah.
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 Yeah, I mean, I don't think I would ever have this kind of relationship with a boss. The previous, the very, very chatty, very, very.
I have had bosses like that. It's yeah. It is a little too chatty, I think.
Yeah.
And then I wonder if other people see it as your favorite.
Right.
Ah, yeah.
You know, because when you're that personal with a boss, it does look suspicious to others.
Yeah.
So that's a bit of the boundary problem also. Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, having a nice time and sharing your life is one thing. But, mm-hmm. I mean, I can't stand the people that come back from vacation and you have to go through 300 pictures. That I don't like. And we once had a boss who said to us, you know, I let them go on vacation, then they come back, and then we have to relive the vacation, and that takes hours. And, you know, remember he was
that's
resentful.
Really
I don't
funny.
Remember who that was. But
that's funny.
I remember hearing that. I thought, well, you know, people do need to relate.
Yeah. Yeah. A little bit.
A little bit. Right. We have Facebook now. It's enough.
Send your boss to Facebook? I don't think so. But all right. So the bottom line is you have a loss that you have to recognize. You've got to relate to this new boss differently. You aren't necessarily in trouble, but you need to speak their language, which is what Kathy's saying is just produce. Do your job.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and let them take the lead and see. Yeah, and see, you know, what it is they want, how deep they're going to get with you personally.
Yeah,
right. And that's it.
Yeah, and I think don't confuse someone liking you to someone respecting you as an employee.
That's true.
Right.
That's true. You don't have to be buddy for them to respect you. Buddy right. buddies. You don't have to.
No.
I think sometimes it does help though. All right. Anyway, that's enough for this show. Anything else you want to say? No?
Join us next time for another My Crazy Office podcast. Tweet your stories and your advice about dealing with new and different bosses to Ask K2. And please review us on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Stitcher. Don't forget to send your questions to info@mycrazyoffice.co.
My Crazy Office is produced in New York City at K Squared Studios. Stay crazy.